The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country has places tucked away.
Smerwick Park. Now, you've heard some of the other podcasts, or you've listened to some of the other podcasts, and now that during lockdown, went on quite a few walks around the Black Country to parks and non-parks and cut tracks and stuff like that. Smerwick Park come up really, basically because it was part of my growing up, probably until maybe 16. Early on, it would have been from me Nana Dakin and Grandad Dakin. They lived up by Moat Farm School, see. And because my first 5 years of my life were at Nana Poles down in Portway Road, Albury, while they were building the Kirkmore Estate, we had somewhere to stop. And I think one of my aunties was all a forehead and going to drop a babby at any time. So when that happened, they always went back to me Nanny Murray's until I'd had the bab. And my auntie Frieda actually used to born the babs, unless there were like any complications. Her and her sisters used to born the babs, really. And I'm sure they born me, because I was born at home. So probably had something to do with that. Maybe that's why I'm the way I am. But any road up, Arrowmon Kirkmore wouldn't have been ready for about 3 months, I think it was. Maybe a bit more. So we had to find somewhere to stay, and we all went up. There was me and Biggin then. The other two were born then. So we went and we stayed with me Nan and Grandad Dakin, that was up by Moat Farm School. Now, me Nanny Dakin worked at Parksy Suck Factory. We'll get to Smerwick Park in a minute. And when we were a bit older, I mean, I did it then, but when we were a bit older and on the Kirkmore, we used to do it every Saturday. I worked at Parksy Suck Factory down by the region Bughouse in Langley. And on a Saturday, we used to go to the matinee, me and all my mates, when we were up on Kirkmore. And we'd go along past Langley Baths and then walk down. And my nana would be waiting at the gates of Parksy Suck Factory. And I'd have a big bag of misshapes, and you'd have a banana split with a toffee crunch in the middle, or you'd have an Everton mint with a cola tube coming out on it, all that sort of things. And we'd take them, and then once we'd got into the Regent, some of us paid someone a stay. That's another thing, really. Two or three would be in the queue to pay. And then when they were in, the others would all be like hanging around. When they were in, they'd, while all the usherettes or ushers was sorting everybody out in the dark, you'd like walk down and you'd push open the exit door just a little bit so you could squedge through. So like say, 8 of us would go and 2 would pay and then the rest would get in. And then we'd sort either at the back upstairs or at the back downstairs, and we'd just share out all these suck, which was great. But the reason I said we were up at Nanny Dakin's is we used to go around the Queen's Yed shopping with her on a Saturday, which was just round the corner. And then we'd have a walk down. My granddad would have we walk down the Lawnswood past where them are building the Commonwealth Games swimming pool now. It was Smerwick Hall Cricket Club and Smerwick Hall Football Club. They used to play in the Midland Combination on the left. So we'd walk past down there, and they'd brung you out, turn to the left, and they'd brung you out near to Smerwick Park. And we'd just have a walk round the park, really, while my nana were at work. What strikes me about it now is it just had a lovely lake in it. There'd be boats on this lake and swans and stuff and folks fishing, and it was really quiet. It was always packed, always packed. And then you had a lovely walk round to the pavilion, and I think you could go and get a drink, a cup of tea or something and a cake or something in the pavilion then. It went to rack and ruin. And I know they've won something like £4.5 million to renovate the park itself and build a new pavilion. So that'd be just absolutely busting when that's done. But that was probably my first experience of it. Seeing all the big houses in Holly Lane. And also we walked a bit further and Sidley School, and it was Holly Lodge. And that would then become my link, really, with Smerwick Park for a couple of reasons. So if we fast forward a few years, Smerwick Park, I don't know how many pitches, must have had about 10 pitches on it. And they were, I tell you what, when it rained, the ones by the lake were ronk, absolute ronk. They stunk to high heaven. It was horrible, like black soil. But we used to go and play there. We played proper football, and that was an experience, really, because you could have all the teams. Say it was 10 pitches, so you'd have 20 teams. And you'd probably have the changing rooms were like a concrete bunker. And you'd have about 10 changing rooms for 20 teams and about 3 showers for 20 teams. So if they all finished at like 3 o'clock or whatever time it was you finished, and you've got all them blokes and kids there trying to go and have a shower and get clean, then you've got no chance, had you? I mean, most of the time, Mr. Edge used to give us a lift, and he'd always carry a bucket, and then he'd go to the tap and he'd fill the bucket with water, and you'd clean your boots off and put some paper in them so that it'd help them dry out, and then you'd go and get another bucket, and then you'd just swill all the dirt off because you've got to get in his car. If he day come, you'd have to walk home caked with mud and then sat on the back step, and by then it had dried and you had to puck all the mud off your legs and that if your mother had let you in. So there was that. It was a really strange place. It was just like World War II when the games ended, because everybody rushed, you know, to try and get a shower or at least get under the waiter to wash all the filth off. And if you was unlucky enough to be an afternoon game, and there'd been like, you sometimes had the under 11s on the morning and then the big uns on the afternoon. So if you was a big un and you just happened to have a match in the afternoon on one of the bad pitches, the ones up the top were so bad they tended, the waiter tended to run off them, but the ones down the bottom, they were like quagmires, like bogs. So it had been like, really it had been like knocked to hell by the kids on the morning, and it was just divots all over the place and great big clods of mud and everything, and you'd got to play on that. And I always remember one of the games, I don't know if it was the Worley, was it? Oh, no, it'd be the Albury then. It'd be the Albury under 11s team, and we had a brilliant team called Lion Farm United, and there were you'd play against everybody, the scouts, the schools would sort of have a side that's made up of the schools, and we played against St Francis, and it was just ridiculous. You could score like 50 goals in a game, and it was, you'd score like 400 goals in a season. So that was the one time that really sticks in my memory about Smerwick Park. And it sort of had that, I don't know, it had that humbly feeling about it. We didn't play much on Barnford Park, which was nearer to him, which we've talked about. But Smerwick Park we played a lot on. But probably the biggest memory of Smerwick Park, other than it being donated by Chances, Mr. Chance, who did Chance and Hunts, where they made the glass and they made the glass for the Titanic, they make glass for lighthouses. Oh, fantastic place on the Smerwick, going up the road into Smerwick. Well, he, as many businessmen did, bought the land and then converted it into a park for all of the workers, and that's how they had somewhere to go. So that they were really, I don't know, community aware in a way. And there's a big statue on him as you go in one of the big gates. I think at the moment being renovated, I think they've taken the statue down because they're going to polish it all up and it's red brick and they're going to do all that. But there was a statue there commemorating that he donated the park to the local community. But we, the time that we started to use it, probably even more, was it when I was in Albury, Albury Grammar School, and our mortal enemies were Holly Lodge, that school I was telling you about early on. And they were our mortal enemies in school, But they're our best mates, out on school, because a lot of us played in the same Sunday sides and the same Saturday sides. Some of the lads played for Albury United with me. Some of the lads played in Uplands Colts on a Sunday. So we were like best of buddies, unless we were playing for the school. And then it was like, I don't know, it was like Dunkirk. You would smash a letter to your best mate and kick him up in the air and all this. And it was really, really intense. But what we loved doing was, on a Sunday afternoon, we'd all meet in Smerwick Park, and there might be, I don't know, 15 of them, 15 on we. And some of the players, I can remember now, Andy Coghill was one of the players. You might remember, if you're a Baggies fan anyway, you might remember Lyndon Hughes. Then he'd be a striker, big lad for his age. And he played for England Schoolboys, and he went on to play for the Baggies. Fantastic player, lovely, lovely lad. I think for some reason or other, I can't remember why, but he ended up playing fullback, and then he sort of dropped off the scene, and I don't really know, you know, what he's doing now. But Lyndon used to come. Now, he was like the star of the region, Lyndon Hughes was. He was just yeads above everybody else, and some part of it was because of his size, because he was a big lad compared with everybody else, but part of it was because of his skill. He was incredibly skillful, and he probably was on the Albion books then. So he'd be like going up wherever would be their academy at the time, and obviously getting training. Excuse me. And Lyndon used to come, and Stevie Nicholas used to come, Andy Coghill used to come. I think it was, I don't know if it's Stevie Gray or Andy Gray, but there was loads of them. And then all of our lot, Boxer had come, and Jeff Tibbetts had come, and Chilly had come, and Ardgoo. Sometimes Edgy had come. And we'd meet about 1 o'clock on a Sunday. And we don't really use the posts or the kit, because it used to go all through the summer when everybody was playing cricket and stuff there. We'd still be playing football. And then you'd just have hours and hours and hours of playing football together, like 15 a side. You probably chucked your coats down, or sometimes we'd pinch them co-op things that they used to put the milk in off the back of a co-op van. You'd probably naff a couple of them and bring them down here. And then we'd just play for hours on end, and it was just the most amazing, not only the football side, but it was just the most amazing place to be, because you'd got on the right-hand side, you got the boaters on the lake, you got the swans flying past, you got fishermen, you know, trying to concentrate while we was there, lumping a ball about. And then you'd get the cooting couples, you know, going under the trees and all that. It's very, very difficult to describe what a great feeling it was. And it had a totally, I mean, we love Barnford Park, don't get me wrong, we love Barnford Park. We love going up Pudding Rock and Bunny Hill and playing on the putting green and stuff. But Barnford Park only had the two pitches, I think. So it wore, in a way, it wore the same. And also because most of the lads, Ollie Lodge lads, were like Smedic lads or that way. So it was sort of central to we, really. And Barnford would have been a fair way for them to try and trek, which is why we put Smedic Park. And afterwards, we just, there'd be about 30 on we, and we'd play until it was dark, you know, it'd be going dark and dusk and stuff like that. And we'd be playing until it was dark. But the thing about Smerwick Park, because it wore roped in, there was big gates, but I mean, it was open then on all the other roads. So, you just walked off the park into the main road. But we'd just walk round all the paths, or we'd sit on the benches and we'd just chat about, you know, life and stuff like that. So it had a real, real warm memory for me, Smithwick. And then it was probably many, many, many years before I went back there. Certainly after I sort of left home, went down at 16 to Swindon to go and play football and come back. I can't ever remember going back again. Not even passing it. It just wore somewhere that you went, and all of the mates that I'd had at school had sort of been and made their own lives. So although you kept in touch with them, and you sort of say, nobody would ever say, shall we go meet down to Mythic Park? And you'd be in your late teens, I suppose. A lot of them would be off at university, obviously. Go and have a game down to Mythic Park. And but nobody ever said that. So it was sort of lost in the mists of the distance and the memory. And then a wench contacted me from Sandor Council, and had told me about this regeneration that was going to happen, and they'd got something like £4.6 million or something to do it up. And I said, would you like to get involved with it when we eventually have it all up and running, in terms of putting on some events and a bit of entertainment and all that? And I said, what? He said, but would you like to come and have a look, and I can tell you what's going to happen to it? And I'll tell you what, I suppose I could have drove up to it, really. But I parked where my nan and granddad, Lawnswood Road, up by Mount Farm School. I parked just down from their house, because I wanted to see, it's weird, I wanted to see what their house was like, my nan and granddad's, and if I felt anything for it, because I'd done that with my own house, well, with my mum and dad's house on the Cakemore estate, and it upset me, because when I went back to see it, when I visited my auntie Glad and I went back to see it, it was in a real dire straits, and the nets was hanging off the bloody windows, and the paint was peeling off the doors, and I was quite angry, really, and I wanted to bang the door and just say, hang on a minute, you know, I spent 20 years of my life here and it was never like this. And the Skets still lived up there, and I think it was Peter come out and said, leave it, Billy, just walk away now. And it's probably best if you don't come up and have a look. You know, go and see your auntie Glad, but don't come up and have a look if it's going to upset you so much. But I wanted to have a look at my granddad's house, and I could remember everything about it. I could remember the little mantelpiece in the front room, and they all used to have them pieces of furniture with them weird-shaped cylindrical mirrors, die they, in the middle, and there was everything on there, all of the knickknacks was on there, and they had the swans on the wall and stuff like that. And I just stood there for a bit having a look, and I sort of wanted to peer over the back fence to see if the outside cars, it was still there, and it died, look, you couldn't see a roof, so I would imagine that took the outside cars. But I walked from there, as we would have done, down Queenshead, and then went down Lawnswood. And of course, by then, they were starting to fence everything off, ready to build this swimming pool. I turned left and then went down to Smithwick Park. And when I got into Holly Lane, I think it is, I sort of looked across, and it, to be honest, it looked a bit dishevelled. And I thought, well, I ain't got to meet this wench for another half hour. I'm going to walk down to the lake and see if the pitch is there, where we used to meet on a Sunday afternoon. And see if I can remember some of the things. And I walked all the way down the pathway, and I did notice that was, you know, trees was cut down to the stumps and all that. And again, there were no boats. It was quite sad, really, because there was no boats on the lake, and there was no swans on the lake. And there was a bit of that, you know, that mossy stuff that gets on because nobody was looking after it. And then all of around the edge of the lake, there was all overgrown and that. And I thought, well, if they've got to renovate it, they've got to renovate it properly. And I come round the other end, and you sort of went up a path through these woods. Well, them woods were there, so they've obviously grown over the years and got unruly and all that. And I come round the back path, and that's when I noticed that Chance's statue had gone, and there was all scaffolding round the wall where he were. And the big back gates, they was locked. And again, there was scaffolding round, and then there was this big sign to say, you know, everything was going to be renovated, and they were doing it piece by piece, and it give you sort of the chronological dates that things was going to happen. And then I walked up, and I thought, I better change your rooms here, because I know they still play games on there. And walked up, and there I was. It looked tiny now to me. I mean, when you're little, everything looks massive, don't we? But it looked tiny. They look as though you could get one team in, I don't know, about 22 teams. And it was still them concrete slabs. Do you remember them old concrete slabs they used to build sort of prefabs and that out on? And it was like that. And I stood there and I could hear the rush of boots on the path as folks was rushing in to go and get the shower or try to get under the shower. And I could smell the osliniment they used to put on the legs. And I could smell the sweat after they'd all got changed and come out of the shower, the actual sweat that used to come through the door, the stink of the sweat. And then I walked back down and found the bottom pitch and just stood there for a bit. And I could see Uzi, you know, slamming in the goal from about, beating about 26 on me, slamming in the goal from about 30 yards. And then somebody like Chile had just dinked something round somebody, or Boxer had just lobbed one over their goalie's head and everything. And then everybody just pucking all the clothes up, putting the shoes back on, holding the boots in their hand, you know, banging them against the path to get some of the dirt off. And then us just walking round to where the pavilion was, and I think where they're going to rebuild it. And I could see it, plain as day, I could see it there. And there was like a sign to say, there might have been a diagram to say this is an artist's, you know, they do that sort of thing. This is an artist's impression of the new pavilion. And then this wench was there and it took me round again. And I said, do you know, this has been so enlightening to come back here to this place where I spent probably 5-6 years of my childhood, and certainly from the age of 11 to when I left school to play football, I'd be there most Sunday afternoons with all of them folks from Holly Lodge. And I was telling her about how there was this like contradiction of being at war if you was at school, but if you was Sunday afternoon, you was the best of mates, and it was just the greatest feeling to be playing football in that park with my mates. And the allotments at the back, just they are hidden now. I don't know what's happened to the trees, but they used to be quite hidden, and there's a load of allotments just behind the back of the park. And now you can see that, although they're still used, you know, some of the sheds are dilapidated and all that. Well, they were teeming when we used to play, absolutely teeming. A special, special place. And the difference now is, I mean, we did have it then, but it's so multicultural, and it was absolutely busting to see Sikh families walking about, or Bangladeshi's families walking about, Polish families walking about, letting the kids play in the apparatus, and then obviously locals walking about. And then that sort of tip the caps to one another, or the turbans, and say hello and that. And I said to this, if you can get this as a going concern, and if you can get the interest of the local community, this place would be the hub of Smerwick, really. I know you've got Victoria Park down the road, which is a park actually we never went to have a look at. But this has got something about it. It's got so much history within the local community. If you can cajole them into coming back and to use the facilities, and obviously to keep it clean and tidy, it could be such a magical place, because it was such a magical place to us when we were kids. I absolutely loved it, and I was so glad that I went back there for, you know, for that walk, because it brought them memories back to me, how important it was. I only ever thought, I mean, when we went to Barnford, that was special because it was closer to my nan and granddad's house, and my granddad played bowls on the bowling green, you know, my uncle played tennis on the tennis courts and stuff. Our grammar school was just over the road, so that was special for that reason. But Moat Farm, Smerwick Park, was special for different reasons, really. I think it was the chaos of the main football games. It was the beauty and the camaraderie of Sunday afternoons. But also it was just the peace of seeing somebody punting on the lake, or a fisherman pulling a fish out, or, you know, the swans on the little island in the middle. It was just such a peaceful experience. And then just to walk about, and as I say, I can remember having a cup of tea in the pavilion, and I think you just went in, and it was just it was just like you would imagine it. It was like nowadays where they'd have like cappuccinos and all that. It was either tea, Bovril, or a cup of coffee, like an ordinary cup of coffee. Yeah, there was nothing else. And then you might have arrowroot biscuits, bourbon biscuits, might have a rich tea, and that was about it. And the cake might be unmade, I don't know, I can't remember. Cake might be unmade, but otherwise it'd just be a fruit cake, or you might have a bit of lardy cake or something. But it was just, the memories were vivid, and it was just a great, great, great time, and I loved it. And hopefully, if you listen to this, and it might spark a memory for all of you, and you'll have your own memories of Spenwick Park. I would imagine once it's back open, it might be a project that they'll start where they try to get people's memories back who used that park many, many years ago. But of course, many of them will be a lot older than me, and there will be many that will have them memories, really. But hopefully, we can catch them, we can capture them, because these places were the community hubs, and as much as you can say all these local businessmen were capitalists and all that, a lot of them, the parks wouldn't have been here without them, and certainly Smedic Park wouldn't have been here without Mr. Chance. So here's my hats off to him, because you have left one bloke with a lot of lovely, lovely memories, and I'm sure there's a lot of blokes and wenches like me that have got just the same memories. And if anybody's from one of them teams that we used to play against, or you're one of the Ollie Lodge lads or one of the grammar school lads and you want to get in touch, just email me, b.dakin, D-A-K-I-N, at aston.ac.uk, and we'll meet up and have a chinwag about it, because you'll probably remember a lot more than I do. And certainly if you went to Ollie Lodge, you probably used it more than we do. So get in touch. It'd be busting to hear from you. All right. Have another one soon. Ta-ra a bit.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country, as places turn.